This is the Inside Slant Football Podcast, brought to you by Jayhawk Slant. We go behind the scenes to bring you the inside scoop from Les Miles and his staff, the KU players, and recruits. Here are your hosts of the Football Podcast, Randy Withers and John Kirby.
Hey everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com on the Rivals Network. Once again, we have an entire episode dedicated only to Kansas Jayhawk football, as we are now just 1 week away from the first game for the Kansas Jayhawks under new head coach Les Miles. Fall camp is finally over. It's time to start talking about game week preparation. Football season is finally here. Also finally here, it's time to bring in my man, our publisher, and the most respected, revered, and in-the-know expert when it comes to all things Kansas Jayhawk football. Bring in my friend John Kirby. John, how are you this morning?
Boy, you always lay it on thick. You make me sound a lot better than I ever am.
I always tell people, you know, if you ever need a hype man or somebody to write your LinkedIn for you, I can totally help with that.
Well, last night, how was Corinth Square? I know you went out to see Les Miles.
You know, it was the most energized. And not just that, you know, I've been there a few times when people were just fired up because it's Friday and they're having a couple pops and the weather's nice. But last night was the most engaged I've seen the crowd. People were very excited when the players got there. They were excited when Jeff Long got up to speak. And then when Coach Miles got up and talked for a few minutes, I mean, people were extremely excited about Kansas football. And that is something that, as you and I both know, it's been a while since there's been buzz. And, you know, when Coach Miles arrived, he pulled up in a clean black Cadillac Escalade, and it was like there was a rock star pulling up. There were well over 5,000 people in attendance. Parking was really hard to come by, but it was a gorgeous night. It was only 83 degrees, and KU fans were fired up. Jayhawk Nation was out in full force, and you can tell people are ready to get this thing started.
Well, the one thing I've noticed with Les Miles, and I know you and I have covered his football camps and the Les Miles Elite Camp, one of the things that always just gets my attention is how many people, when those camps are over, are lined up with memorabilia or whatever it is for Les to sign. It's crazy, the lines that I'm sure there are people who actually come up that don't even have a kid at football camp. They just show up to get his autograph.
I think you're right. You know, I tweeted out a picture, and I also threw it out on my Instagram last night of Coach Miles signing a mini helmet for an LSU fan. And there were LSU fans that were there last night showing Les Miles love that are saying, hey, we're Kansas fans now, too. We are Les Miles fans, and we're going to support him wherever he goes. And, you know, there are always people asking for autographs. Like you say, we saw it at the Elite Camp, saw it at the team camp, saw it last night. He is... Like I said, he is a rock star in the college football community and with college football fans.
Well, shifting gears, is there an AD who's more versatile than Jeff Long? I mean, the guy played the trumpet last night. We've seen him jump in a pool. We've seen him catch footballs off the jugs machine. We've seen him
run through the gauntlet at practice. Yeah.
We've seen him dribble between his legs coming out for the Big 12 basketball tournament. I mean, this guy does it all.
He is a renaissance AD. He can do all the dirty work in the boardroom, but when it comes time to get out and support his student athletes and meet the fans, he is right there at the forefront. The guy, you know, it's kind of a trite old phrase to say he's got his finger on the pulse, but the man knows what KU fans want and maybe what they need. And, you know, with some of the things that have already happened, some of the moves they've made with changes to game day, as we're going to hear about in this episode, he seems to know what KU fans want, what they've been wanting for some time, and they are certainly responding to him.
And I must add, I forgot pickleball. We've seen him play pickleball. So about the only thing we haven't we need to get him over at Hoagland and have him hit a home run over the fence.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean that's about one of the last few things I can think of that he hasn't done yet, or at least it might be one of those things where it's the only thing we don't know that he's done so far, because that man, he stays busy. This podcast is going to be guest driven. You know, we talk about Jeff Long. We are going to be hearing from a lot of people from the KU Athletic Department that have worked very closely with him that are going to be able to tell our listeners what it's been like since he took over Kansas Athletics. We have Chris Freet, who does such a great job of talking about the KUAD and some of the changes that fans and Jayhawk Nation can expect coming to game day this fall. We will hear from wide receivers coach Emmett Jones, who may be the hottest recruiter in the Big 12 right now. That man is bringing in some serious talent to Lawrence, Kansas. And we're going to hear from Sam Spiegelman from Rivals.com, who covered Les Miles for several years when he was at LSU. He's a recruiting analyst for the company. He has some tremendous insight and some great stories that a lot of people haven't heard about this man we call the Mad Hatter. As we are now finally coming up on game week, there have been a lot of changes in and around Memorial Stadium and around the Anderson Family Football Complex. We're going to bring in Chris Freet, who is the Deputy Athletic Director for External Engagement. I know I've talked with Kirby several times about Chris Freet, and we're both big fans of his ideas, his energy, and what he is doing for KU fans in Lawrence. Here's John talking with Freet.
I am joined by Chris Freet, the Deputy AD at KU, and I'm telling you, he has a lot of great ideas, and he's implemented several of them, and I think we'll see more in the future. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. I was outside this morning. It's Saturday, and college game day's on, and it feels a little bit like football weather. There's a little bit of chill in the air this morning, and I'm really fired up for football to get going.
Well, you know, you're closing in on about a year here at KU. You know, I'm interested just to get, you know, what are your general thoughts so far being here on KU Athletics?
Well, hey, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk football. That's really cool. And I know we're going to spend the majority, if not all the time, talking about that. But I want to make sure people understand that Jeff Long and this administration is not forgetting basketball. And you can't start that conversation, in my opinion, without giving credit to the people that have come before us. You know, they've continuously built this basketball program into a monster. It's the most lucrative program in America, and we're going to do our darndest to maintain that. Everybody, you know, from entry level all the way up to Jeff Long. But the reason football is so important, and you know this, John, but the reason football is so important to basketball is if we're going to continue to feed that beast, if we're going to throw that ball down into the low post, we're going to continue to throw it to Doak, and we're going to continue to build that basketball program. We're just at a crucial time, and it's going to require football becoming a competitive program again. Hey, I want to thank the people that are listening to this podcast, in particular those that are subscribers to Jayhawk Slant. You know, the fans are going to be the hero in this turnaround. Those people that are out at Booth Memorial Stadium this season are going to have as big as an impact as anybody that works in the building, and as big of an impact as anybody that puts on a helmet or coaches these young student athletes. They're going to guide us through this because they're jumping in early and they're saying, hey, I want to be an investor. I want to be there before the spoils come. And we're going to celebrate those folks. And quite honestly, can't wait to celebrate down the road when the success that they've been demanding and expecting and rightfully deserve comes.
Well, you guys, it's been a busy summer around the KU Athletic Department. You guys have announced all kind of changes. You know, I want to talk about some of those, starting off with the alcohol sales in the stadium. Just talk about the process that went into that and how that can help out.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to talk about that. So Sean Lester and Brad Noctegal, longtime administrators in the KU Athletic Department, they deserve the lion's share of the credit for this. They've been working on this process for well over 18 months. We ran a prototype or beta process in baseball and softball this past year where you could purchase beer and wine at those events. And they nailed it. And that's, you know, those are things that Sean and Brad are responsible for. But from a logistical standpoint, from a issue standpoint, we had no problems. And so that set the table with the university to say and show that we could be responsible in this endeavor. And I got to give credit to university leadership for taking the next step with us and rolling this out at football. We have been working the entire summer on the logistics of how we do this within our concession stands. Everybody's going to be ID'd every single time that they purchase beer, which is going to slow down some of the lines, but we're adding additional concession stands. We're going to have about 20 hawkers working around the stadium because we know it's going to be a little bit slower because we're checking every ID every single time. But in a collegiate atmosphere, it's absolutely vital that we don't have any issues because part of our core constituents is underage college students, and we just can't have any problems there.
Well, week one, we're about ready to kick this off. Indiana State, I know you guys have announced you've got the tailgate guys on the hill. You've got the Crimson and Blue barbecue. You know, just talk about those ideas for week one starting off.
Yeah, I would encourage folks that are tailgaters to spend some time at Indiana State or Coastal Carolina checking out what Tailgate Guys provides. They need to show it. We all need to show it before some people will jump in and purchase. But what I will tell you they have done at every other institution they've worked with is they create a concierge experience. The fun part of tailgating is hanging out with friends and family in your community and getting ready for the game. The awful part of tailgating is setting up the tent and getting the food out and getting it all organized and then going and parking your car and all of those things. So they take all the hard stuff out of it and just let you have fun. You literally show up, they set up for you, you park your car, you come back, you enjoy your time, they clean up after you when you go to the game, and then they clean up after you when you head home afterwards. And so I would encourage people to take a look at that. I think they will find it really intriguing. And hey, I want to offer one up to one of your loyal Jayhawks Slant subscribers, John. And you determine how we get it out there in your ecosystem. But I'd love for somebody on your message board to have the opportunity to try that out for free for the first game. And just my only request back would be that they give us honest feedback and tell us what they liked, what they didn't like, if there was anything that they didn't like, and then share some of that with the people on the board. The other thing we have coming is going to be really cool. You know, two traditions for this area, football and American Royal. We're honored to be able to host an American Royal qualifier. It's for the 2020 competition because the 2019 competition is coming up. But they're going to be in there for two nights. We've got 18 teams competing. They're going to do a fan's choice, which I think is going to be pork butt on Saturday morning, where fans can pay $5, get in there, try some of the best barbecue in the area. And then those folks are staying. They're going to stay overnight Saturday and get ready to compete Sunday for a spot in the American Royal. And, you know, that's a huge part of this community. I know it's really important to one of our great alums, Cliff Illig. And so we're honored that they made the leap with us. But I will say, and I hope our fans enjoy this, we're going to bring a bunch of these types of experiences. And because we understand until we start winning at the level that everybody expects, sometimes there's got to be more than one reason to come to the game, and we think this is a good start.
Chris, this is my 20th year of covering KU football, and you know, you can always tell there's excitement or when there is, and a lot of times with new coaching staffs, I don't know if I've ever seen one with the excitement that Les Miles has, you know, brought in. Just touch on what he's meant for season ticket sales and what kind of response have you guys seen?
We're up over 13,500 season tickets at this point, John. I think that number will continue to grow. I know that number will continue to grow over the next week here before we kick off. We were just over 11,000 last year, so that's about a 20% increase. You know, what's interesting out of that 13,500 is 85% of those folks have signed up for the 3-year loyalty pricing, right? So they've signed up to be a season ticket holder for 3 years. We renewed before that process. We renewed 95% of the season ticket holders from 2018. And then obviously we've added over 3,000 new folks into the fold. So it is really exciting. All signs are pointing up, but I hope our fans understand that in no way are we satisfied. There's still a ton of work, but we are excited because all indications are pointing up, and Les has done a great job of turning the momentum around this program.
You know, something we've talked about on our message before, and I've read this, I think I even saw in the Wall Street Journal, maybe it was last year, the year before, that even Alabama, student attendance was down 25%. You know, what do you guys do to engage, you know, students on campus?
Well, first off, you got to be where they are. And so students, just like recruits, you know, with less than, I think it's what, 24 commits at this point, students are a lot like those prospective student athletes. They just love Coach Miles. And so, you know, he's been at Wesco. He'll be at Traditions Night. He's going to be with the band later on this week. And so it's important for him as the leader of the program to be where the students are and engage with them. It's important for our student athletes to be where the traditional students are. But it's really important for our athletic department to be there, right? You can't have a real conversation with an 18 to 23 year old if you're not meeting them on their level. What fans will notice this year with students is we have a renewed focus specifically on the freshman class. These are the folks that we have a chance to affect their 4-year cycle or 5-year cycle on campus. And I think one of the misses in college athletics is we've messaged the same thing to all students as if they're all in the same period of life. And a freshman entering college is dramatically different from a senior that's preparing to go out into the professional work environment. We've got a freshman tailgate at the first game. We're going to feed them some breakfast and incentivize them a little bit to get up early, which we all know is hard for that age group. And then this isn't public yet, but I'm happy to share it with you guys. They'll be a part of the opening for the team coming onto the field in pregame. We're gonna give the freshmen the chance to be fill in the K and help welcome the football team onto the field. We feel like that's a really exclusive opportunity that will just increase their buy-in and show how important they are to what we got to do. You know, as you know, I worked in the SEC for a little while. I've seen what college football can be. There is no home field environment unless the students are there to bring the juice, and we're doing a ton of work to build towards that.
So I would say, Chris, over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days since the words come out on the Les Miles documentary, I know you were very involved with that. You know, just talk about how that idea came about and what can folks look forward to with that.
You know, I when I started here, I kicked the idea to Jeff of, hey, we got to do something different, right? That's what our fans are asking for. It's KU football. How can we get our name out there in different ways? And I said, you know, Jeff, we've got an executive producer that we trust. Would you be willing to take a leap and have them behind the scenes as we began the search for a new football coach? And so there is anywhere from 3 to 8 guys around Jeff traveling around the country with him as he worked on that search. And so those 3 to 8 guys knew a whole lot about the search that only a small group knew in the athletic department and at the institutional level. They spread out as they saw candidates that Jeff got really excited about. And one of those was obviously they went down to Baton Rouge and snuck in a couple days with Les before he signed that agreement and agreed to come to Kansas. And so people have been questioning, they see some content of Les in that process and they're wondering if it's staged. No, none of it's, I promised you, none of it's staged. Now, remember, Les was an actor before he came back into football coaching. So he has some skills in front of the camera, but it's going to be really interesting for our fan base and I think college football as a whole to see this. No one is more excited about this project than ESPN. Like, they love Les Miles. He is gold to them. And And there's an E60 thing that's coming. That's, I think, a 20 to 30 minute feature on Les, and can he do it at Kansas? I was sitting yesterday and thinking, like, who else is getting all this behind the scenes coverage from ESPN, even in our league or even across college football? And that's the power of Les, and we see it in a bunch of areas, season tickets and recruiting. So it's going to be a really fun endeavor. We have an executive producer who is going to have the autonomy to put on a great show. He's going to work with us, right? We have a voice in that process, but he's going to tell the story of this program. He's going to tell the story of Coach Miles and his family, and he's going to tell the story of our student athletes, and he's going to follow those stories probably more than he will follow the individual narrative of the season, because quite frankly, ESPN's told us this, like, hey, everybody sees the games, they see the highlights. We want to see the stories that nobody else can see, and that's why they've greenlighted this project.
You know, that'll be interesting just to see the video people with Les and Jeff Long and kind of that behind the scenes leading up to the hiring. I think the fans they're already talking quite a bit about that. So, you know, staying on the topic of Jeff Long, hey, just talk about it. You've worked with Jeff for some time. What's it like to be around him and work with him every day?
It is fun. It is. Jeff is when I describe his leadership style to folks that are considering to come and work at KU, that's obviously one of the questions that comes up in every one of those settings. And I always say, here's Jeff. He's a walk the halls kind of guy. Jeff is as likely to pop into my office as one of the senior leaders as he is to pop into an intern or a graduate assistant's office and say, hey, what are we doing on this? I know you're responsible or you're helping out on this. He relies on face-to-face communication instead of email or text message, which I think is absolutely vital from a leadership standpoint in this day and age. But you also, you know, what I've seen over 4.5 coming up on 5 years working with Jeff is the impact that has on the people in the department. You know, it's an honor in an organization of 250 to have the boss come into your office and ask for your direct feedback and ask for your support and ask for your help and be checking in on initiatives that are important to that individual. And so that's Jeff day to day. I will say the other thing that people need to know about Jeff, and they'll see as football season goes along, is he's a competitor in everything. And he is constantly benchmarking everything we do. It doesn't matter if it's a press release or a tweet or ticket sales or wins and losses on the field or court of competition. Everything is about competing for him, and he wants to beat everybody. And some of y'all will see Jeff on game day after kickoff. He is as anxious and nervous and engaged in that game as all of you are and all the people that are coaching and working on the sideline. Like, he is in game day mode, and it's that competition coming out, and it's really fun to be around.
Well, you and Jeff and the staff and everybody there, you guys have implemented a lot of changes, and I know there's still more to come. And I think this is important as well. You know, talk about even one step above Jeff, you've got Dr. Girard. What kind of support has he played in backing you guys and standing behind you?
Dr. Girard's incredible. He gets the value and benefit that college athletics brings to our institution, an AAU institution. You know, one of the pieces and the roles we can play within the University of Kansas is helping with enrollment. And so everybody's read a story about, let's take UCF and their rise in football and how they have more applications to go to school there. They have the largest enrollment class. Success in athletics drives interest in the institution. And the University of Kansas has been fortunate for several years running to grow our enrollment. But our friends to the west at Kansas State, it's been the opposite trend. It's declines. Missouri is dramatically down in enrollment. And the national trends for the next 10 years, what the experts are saying is that enrollment in college is going to continue to decline across the board. And so that's where Dr. Girard positions athletics, is please help us with this national problem, because we know there's facts behind the exposure you give our institution that leads to interest from the best and brightest 17 and 18 year olds that want to be in Lawrence. And so he's been incredibly supportive. He's so dang smart. You know, it can be intimidating in a room because he's a doctor, but what he's done for this institution, even before he was in that chancellor position, is pretty incredible. And, you know, you're not going to find a better supporter of athletics across this country. He's a really good one.
Chris, this is some great stuff. I know the fans are going to love hearing this, and you know everybody's excited, but almost a week away from kick. And I really thank you for joining us here, and I will get back to you. I'm going to have to figure out a way to, is it a first come, first serve on somebody to take you up on that tailgate guy offer, or how this is going to work out? I'm sure I'm going to make somebody mad, but really thank you for joining us, and I'll be back in touch with you soon.
Thank you, John. Hey, I would love to come back when we get closer to basketball season and talk about some of, I will say, tweaks we've made to the game day of basketball. You know, that's about protecting the tradition of Allen Fieldhouse and the incredible home court environment we have there. It's not necessarily about changing much. It might be about tweaking some stuff, but we'd love the opportunity to come back and talk about that as that gets a little bit closer. And thanks again for the opportunity. Look forward to seeing many of your subscribers and your following out at Booth Memorial Stadium Saturday.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much, and take care.
Take care.
That was an awesome interview and a lot of great ideas. And you can tell that Chris Freet has some tremendous plans for the future that KU fans are just absolutely going to love.
Yeah, he does. You know, I've having listened to him in the past and talked to him, he's got some great ideas. And obviously, you know, it starts up top of him with Jeff Long, who brought him here and backs his ideas, and they have a great staff. And as Freet said, it goes to the very top with Dr. Girard, who's behind their ideas and supports them. And that's what you need at Kansas right now, especially with trying to get this football thing turned around.
Absolutely. You have to have everybody on the same page from the top down. And I can't even say it's been a while. I don't know if we've ever seen an administration as unified with the athletic department in moving towards one specific vision, and that being to elevate the Kansas football program. This is, I really think it's unprecedented in Lawrence or anything I've ever seen. That's for sure. Now, JK, let's take a few minutes. Let's look back on fall camp, even though it seems like it literally lasted forever. I want to focus on some of the position battles that you and I have been paying attention to and that a lot of fans have been talking about as well. Coming out of fall camp, if you had to pick five position groups where you still see a lot of competition and maybe where things are still kind of foggy as to where there might still be questions as to who the starters are going to be, what would those five position groups be?
Well, when you talked about a long fall camp, you weren't kidding. I mean, you know, with the school getting pushed back 1 week, it felt like fall camp lasted one more week, which maybe it did. But, you know, I think we hit that boiling point where the players are done talking about it. They're ready to hit somebody else. And the fans they've read all the things they can read and they want to start talking about football. But, you know, when you look at the position battles, and I'm going to try to keep it to five, and if I go over, excuse me, but obviously it starts with the quarterbacks, with Carter Stanley and Thomas McVitie fighting that one out. So, you know, that one's too close to call, and Les Miles still hasn't given us any real hints on where he might go. I think maybe the most fluid and the biggest competition as a group that I think it could even change throughout the season and could even change during the week leading up to the first game is wide receivers. I mean, you know, I think, you know, you got Stephon Robinson and Parchment and Charlotte and Fairs, McQueen, Lassiter, Hampton. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but those guys are all pushing each other. And we'll hear from Emmett Jones a little bit later about his group, but you can tell there's a lot of guys in that mix. And then a very important position that I think it hasn't been talked about enough is right tackle, because when I had a chance to talk to Meadows, the offensive line coach, the other day, They've moved Frazier over to right tackle. So you've got Clyde McCauley. You've got Kevin Feeder. So you got three guys right now in the mix. You know, Feeder probably is the most seasoned of everybody. He played the most snaps last year. He transferred in from Ohio State. So there's three guys there, and I think you got to get that right tackle solidified because, you know, that offensive line is going to be important with Les Miles and Les Koenig wanting to be more physical and get that ground game going. And then this is what I think is a pleasant surprise. You know, 4 weeks ago, if you'd have said, give me your starters on the D-line, I think Cody Cole would have been a guy everybody penciled in. But the things I'm hearing and what we've heard through interviews and just talking to people, you know, it sounds like there's a pretty good battle going on there with Cody Cole and Malcolm Lee. So to have someone come in that Les Miles and his staff recruited, come in on the D-line and now push a guy who we all thought was going to be a starter, I think that's great news because that, you know, the competition pushes everybody. It makes everybody better. And staying on, going back to the offensive line, I would say the center position, Andrew Tovey and Oppie Main are both battling it out. You know, they're almost like the same guy. When I talked to Meadows, he said he gets them both confused. You know, he said they joke with him and say, Coach, just because we're both big guys and we're both Polynesian, you don't have to get us confused all the time. So, you know, that's a group that center, you know, you got to get that shored up, obviously, with the run game. And then, you know, the special teams, the kicking competition, Liam Jones and Jacob Borchula, I think that's going to be a real close one that I still think goes into game week. And just a few whispers here and there I've heard. You know, I think Liam Jones maybe has answered the challenge that, you know, and stepping up. Somebody told me the other day, this kid's got a talented leg, and if the light bulb comes on, he can be pretty good.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot about the position that everybody always wants to know about. Everybody's always asking.
Oh, don't do
I know
it.
You
don't
get
do
it.
It.
I get it. Everybody is asking who the starting quarterback is going to be. I'm not going to let you wiggle out on this one. I know Coach Miles obviously hasn't named a starter. Again, last night at Corinth Square, he said he wasn't going to make any announcements, that there were no changes. He's still employed by KU Athletics, as he noted. But talking about the quarterback's race, you've got to pick a guy. Who is it? And why?
Well, I wouldn't bet $1 on this thing, but if you're putting me on the spot, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And this might be a little bit of an upset to people. And trust me, like I said, I could be wrong or right on this. So I'm going to go with Carter Stanley. If I've got to make a choice,
really?
And if everything is as close as we hear, and if everything is as tight as Les Miles and Les Koenig has told us about, and even the players have said, you know, they've given no hints whatsoever, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my $1 bet down on Carter Stanley. You know, the guy started 9 games in his career. He's a senior. He's been through Division I, Power 5 football. He's played in 26 games. I know McVitie from a profile, you know, he's tall, he can run, he can throw, and he still might be your starter. I'm just going to go out, since you put me on the spot, and I'm just going to say, if it's a toss-up, I'm going to go with the kid who's actually played, you know, a lot of Power 5 football.
You know, I can't argue with where you're coming from on that one. I really, really can't, but it's still just so close to call, but with that in mind, and specifically that race, now that, you know, fall camp is over and how we've watched how this staff has handled some of these races, the quarterback position battle, what did you learn specifically about Les Miles in his first year at Kansas?
Well, he's a straight shooter. You know, that's what I love about Miles. I mean, he doesn't BS with you. I mean, he just comes right at you, tells the answer, tells you what he's thinking. You know, there's no games. When you and I did our podcast right back after Les Miles was hired and he had that opening press conference, I told you Les Miles is 100% ball coach. And that's what he is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what you see is what you get in Les Miles. And I saw that in the very first press conference that we covered. And I've just, every time I listen to him and talk to him and see him, it just comes back. That's what this guy is, man. He's just a good old ball coach. Hey, and that's what you want. You know, his practices are physical. They're detailed. He's trying to change the culture. You know, these guys, when you talk to those players, they'll tell you, oh, this fall camp's been a little different. I mean, it's been more physical. It's been a little longer. And you know, those are the things that I think it's going to take to change the culture and the mindset at KU. And you know something else, Randy? When I watch Les Miles in his press conferences, I think he's a smart guy. Because I think he does a good job of relaying his message and what he's trying to get to his team sometime through the media. I think there's times where he's up there talking to us, but at the same time, he's talking to those players as well. So, hey, listen, the guy's not going in the Hall of Fame because he doesn't know what he's doing.
I agree with you. I there are a lot of times when we've been sitting in, you know, the auditorium there at the Anderson Family Football Complex, and I've kind of had the feeling where I've stopped and said to myself, okay, we just happen to be in the room, but he's talking to the players in his locker room, not the guys that are sitting here writing down every single word he says. I think you're exactly right with that one. You know, one of the positions that you mentioned, to a place where you have said all along we should expect really heavy competition and for it to continue through the season even, is at wide receiver. There are several different players who could still win a starting job and move up the depth chart. In what is probably one of the most fluid position groups and one where we could really see guys shuffling up and down the board throughout this season. We've got Emmett Jones, who's going to join us to talk about his group and get into some of his recruiting philosophy with John about what makes him successful and why, as I said earlier, he may be the hottest recruiter in the entire Big 12 conference and one of the best in the country right now.
What have you seen from the wide receivers, and what do you like so far in camp from the group?
A bond, gritty group. They all trust each other, compete hard every day. They come to learn every day in the classroom. All that stuff transfer over to the field. They look forward to working on fundamentals and technique every day. They love to be challenged by the DBs, love to compete against those guys. Confident level extremely high, and they want to be up there with the best group in the Big 12 when it comes to ranking wide receivers. You know, all that talking, and you can talk so much, but we got to show it out here on this football field, and it's time to play now.
I was asking Ricky Thomas, I said, tell me somebody that stands out when you go up against him. And he said, Andrew Parchment. Talk a little bit about Andrew. What do you see from him physically, and why would Ricky tell me that? Because the fans haven't seen Andrew.
Parchment, man, he brings it every play. Every play is like his last play. Every play is like his last play. Yeah, all he knows is full speed, love to compete. I mean, he's going to go whistle to whistle. And a lot of those DBs, when they line up against him, you can see they got their guards up. They know he's going to bring it. They never take a play off when they line up against Andrew Parchment. He can beat you deep. He can beat you underneath. Understand routes. Understand leverage. Understand manipulation. And one false move, he's behind you. He's gone. So if he get one step on you, you won't catch him.
So he's a burner because he's still got some good size.
Yeah, he is an elite burner. He plays fast on the football field. Might play faster than his actual 40 time, whatever that is, but I know he plays extremely fast on the football field.
Just talk about, you know, some guys and what do you see from some other guys? Anybody you just want to talk about?
My whole group, man, there's Charlotte, there's Lassiter, there's Evan Ferris, there's Steph Robinson, there's Naylor, there's Hunter Kaufman, there's Quan Hampton, there's T.K. Williams, there's Cam McQueen. So I got a solid group. There's Parchment, we just spoke about him. Got Jamal Horn. Jamal Horn may be one of the fastest guys in the program, you know. So it's my job to raise that confidence level up extremely high, get those guys to back feeling the way they felt at their high schools around the high school coaches, and then instilling their trust from me in the program and them. So don't worry about too much. Go out and make plays. Use your God-given ability and be extremely confident every time you walk out on the football field. Just have natural swagger that no one can slow you down.
Tell me about the Emmett Jones expectations that you had. A lot of successful receivers at Texas Tech, and now you're here. What do you do to push these guys, and what do you ask of them?
I'm a demanding coach, you know, and it all starts in the classroom, that position room. My deal is competitive catches. Make the difficult catch. Easy catches, that's expected. Make the catches that's not expected. You know, I want to see you make plays when guys over your back. I want to see you make your quarterback right. Bail him out. Gain his trust. And at the same time, you know, anytime, you know, we see you lined out on the football field and there's not a double coverage, near you or you out on the island by yourself, the whole stadium should know where that ball is going. Every secondary we play should be afraid of you once you walk out on the football field. Just your confidence, your swagger, just the way you step around, the way you walk around, the way you run around, the way you put your uniform on. All eyes should be on you, and that should demand fear from all of our opponents, you know. So at the same time, just having a high understanding of what we're doing offensively and have a high understanding of what those guys doing, trying to slow us down, and having answers and a plan for everything.
You know, anybody that follows Big 12, Kansas, Texas Tech knows you've had a lot of success recruiting. I mean, just tell me, what do you think makes you a good recruiter?
Shooks, man, to be real quick at it, be real quick with it. Some guys have it, some don't. You know, those guys who try to sell stuff, that's so easy to identify, you know, when you're not being truthful and you sound like a car salesman. You know, I just believe in being open and honest, you know, about the program and the philosophy of the program and direction of the program. It starts with our athletic director, our head coach, and where we're trying to go with this program. So I just believe in being open and honest, you know, and don't hide nothing, don't be bashful about nothing, and keep that continuous dialogue going on, you know. Recruiting never stops, so you know that you got to keep that relationship going on with these guys. And every day there got to be some type of conversation going on with someone that's connected with those guys and someone that knows those players. That's just why I look at it.
I mean, in Texas, I mean, talk about how important your relationships and the trust you've built with people there help you.
You know, coaching down there for the last, 14 years of high school football, and did another four at Texas Tech. You know, that's a natural fraternity if you coach high school football in Texas, especially if you come from a program that has some respect. So there's that natural trust from those guys. So, and at the end of the day, a high school coach want to send their players off to a coach that they know, going to answer the phone every time they call them, and they know that guy's going to be open and honest about anything that's going on with their players that's not football related.
Kirby, we've always known Coach Jones is an impressive guy, and somebody that gets it done coaching and recruiting. But man, I can't say enough about him after hearing that.
Well, Randy, what are the things that fans and people out in college football, they get into is they tag a guy as a recruiter, okay? When what a lot of people don't understand, there's also some other things that they do well. And when you look at Emmett Jones, yeah, he's a great recruiter, but he's a great coach too. I mean, you just look back at Kiki Coutte and Dylan Cantrell and Derek Willis and Cameron Baston, Jakeem Grant, Antoine Wesley. I'm sure there's somebody out there I'm forgetting. But, you know, he's coached a lot of good receivers. So, you know, I think he was a great hire by Les Miles. And I'll tell you what, I got to wonder if there's guys down in Lubbock that are kicking themselves that they didn't retain him. And he's sitting up here at Kansas yanking a lot of talent into Lawrence.
I've thought about that on several occasions. There's no way that Tech and the Red Raiders aren't regretting the fact they let a guy go that is, you know, he's the guy. I'm not even sure if he's necessarily moved in and settled into where he's living in Lawrence, and he's dragging. Well, I wouldn't even say drag. No, he's got guys ready to run to Lawrence barefoot to come play for him by the look of it. And then I'm not talking just anybody. These are big time talented players, and it's exciting. It's something that you and I obviously get into a lot as we lead up to National Signing Day. But right now, give me your quick scouting report. With us being 7 days away, when you look ahead to Indiana State, give me your thoughts, a little bit of a scouting report. I know there's been talk on the message board that some of our fans are worried about the line being just 3.5. What do you think about that?
Well, number one, I think that is a line that's been put out there by those offshore accounts, and I said this on the message board. I don't know if that's a line indicative of where Vegas really puts this at, and I don't know with Indiana State not being a Division I team, I don't know if the real Vegas boards will have it out there. We'll know here in a few days because they usually put it out the week of the game if it's not a, you know, a D1 versus D1 matchup. So, but listen, Indiana State, it's an interesting team. They last year, they had a good year. They returned 10 starters, off of a team that averaged, 31, 32 points a game. They've got their quarterback, Ryan Boyle, back. He's pretty good. I know they've got a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball they like. They did lose some starters. They also had a couple key players who missed all of last year who returned this year. And one of the things about Indiana State that's going to be interesting is I know they've had a chip on their shoulder because they felt they should have been in the FCS playoffs, and they got passed over, and they had a real good year last year. And, you know, they're going to be a test for the Kansas defense, and I know they're not a Division I opponent, but anytime you bring 10 starters back off of an offense, the only guy they lose, I believe, is their left tackle, who was one of the better offensive linemen. But you still got some weapons back and a quarterback that had some success last year. So, you know, it will be a test for the defense. But, you know, this is just a game that I still think Les Miles will have his team ready. And what the hope is here is from a physicality standpoint, you see the Kansas offensive line start to impose on that Indiana State front seven. And at some point, you hope that you start to see them wear it down and play that ball control type offense. So, hey, listen, it's going to be an interesting one, but those are my early thoughts.
And before we get into some recruiting talk, I want to kind of wrap up the team coverage of the Jayhawks as we are 7 days out. You know, this is a broad, very kind of just a general question. But talk about your thoughts on all three phases of this squad, the offense, defense, and special teams, going into week one, coming out of fall camp. What do you think, John?
Well, up front on the offensive line, you know, we touched on this, right tackle, center, right guard. You really hope to shore up those positions. You know, I think there are capable guys there, but, you know, they're still figuring that out. And, you know, you'd like to see a quarterback emerge, or is it a case where both guys are good enough and they're close enough that you could see two guys these first couple weeks? As the, you know, Les Miles could use this as a deal where this competition is so close, he's going to extend it out over the first 2 weeks and let these guys continue the competition and fight against each other using a game day experience. And then maybe in week three he goes, all right, this is what I saw from this guy. But quarterback's an area you got to get that thing shored up. Obviously, the running backs are deep, and I mean, you've even got Velton Gardner running four string, who we've all talked about fall camp's been one of the big surprises as a true freshman. And the wide receiver group is solid. They go three deep across all the positions. Defensively, you know, I think I feel a little bit better about the defensive line than I did before the camp. Just hearing some of the guys like a Marcus Harris and a Malcolm Lee and Caleb Sampson, some guys that are new and they've come in there, I think that's going to add some depth to a position that we were concerned about going in. Probably the one spot that I have the most question mark is linebacker. You know, I think I figured it up the other day. Between Deneen and Lonaker and Osaz Ogbeber last year, you lose like 1,700 snaps off the linebackers. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of football that you're going to lose there. Kyron Johnson, you know, he's going to be one of the guys they look at for leadership. And he's moving to a new position. He's still learning that. So it's going to be interesting to see what those linebackers do. But one of the keys, Randy, for defense is I think the secondary, with guys like Mike Lee and Hassan Defense, Kyle Mayberry, and all those guys, you know, even Corion Harris, you know, that, you know, there's guys that have played some football. Bryce Tornaden is going to kind of play that hybrid, the hawk position. So there's enough guys that are on that second, third level there that can help those linebackers out. So I think they're going to kind of be like a coach on the field. So, you know, defense a little bit better than what I thought maybe up front. Still questions at linebacker. And then on special teams, you know, we talked about it a little bit with Liam Jones and Borchula. That'll come down. You've got a really good punter and Kyle Thompson. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said before it's all said and done, Kyle Thompson may end up being one of the better punters that's ever come through KU. You know, he's 6'4", he's got a big leg, he had a great year last year, so, you know, he's a guy that you hope can really turn those special teams. Punt return, probably Kwame Lassiter, Stephon Robinson, and then the kick return unit is wide open. They've got like seven or eight guys back there working around. So those are my quick thoughts on just the offense, defense, and special teams coming out of fall camp.
As we start to turn to a little bit of discussion, at least, about recruiting, I don't know, and I'm not sure John does either, where all the spots are coming from, but this staff just continues to keep bringing in commitments and keep getting involved with more and more impressive prospects on the recruiting trail. They're adding quality players in this class. They're adding them in future classes. They're really starting to stockpile commitments. Just in the last few weeks, they've continued to add more quality guys. I mean, John, have you ever seen anything like this in your time covering Kansas recruiting?
Oh, no. No, there's, you know, at the end of June, Randy, if you think about it, you know, Kansas was sitting at like 20-some commits. That's never happened in the history of KU football. You know, these guys did a great job this summer identifying targets and people that they wanted high on their board and getting them in on official visits and getting them committed. But what's probably been impressive in the month of August is usually when things slow down a little bit, okay? You get into that dead period. High school kids start their team camps. College guys start theirs. And the communication dies down a little bit. But if you look at this August, just look back here over the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've added Lawrence Arnold, a wide receiver, 6'4", 190. You're talking Colorado offers, Cal, Utah, Wisconsin, Kansas State, several others. Tanner Hooker, the most recent commitment, a cornerback out of Louisiana. He had 12 Division I offers. Chris Jones, a defensive end out of Coconut Creek in Florida. You know, you're talking Florida State, Nebraska, Penn State. I mean, he had a bunch of really good offers. And then obviously the big name, Brennan Scott, a four-star linebacker out of Bishop Dunn in Dallas. You know, he had over 30 Division I offers. Those are just your August additions to what everyone was already excited about. And I think we've got him still 27th in the nation. So it has been impressive because at some point you're going, okay, this is going to slow down. They've done a great job. And then here in the month of August, they've added four of the best recruits on the board. So it has been pretty impressive to watch.
John, I know there aren't many spots left. Well, I say that. I've been saying that for a couple months now, and guys have just continued to commit to this staff. What recruits are you kind of keeping an eye on lately, and who have you been hearing about?
Well, I'm going to start down at Texas offensive lineman that I know KU really likes as a center, Leke Asanuga. He's at Foster High School. He was at Fulshear last year. He was an all-district offensive lineman. And like I said, the Jayhawks are looking at him as a center. And it's not often that you see guys and you say, we're going to look at him as a center. You know, usually you bring in a tackle or a guard and then they transition there. So, you know, he's a guy I'm keeping a close eye on. Then obviously the big name, Ashad Clayton, running back, you know, one of the top in the nation. Tony Hole's on him. We'll hear from Sam Spiegelman a little bit, who thinks that, you know, Kansas is still in it, but it's going to be a tough one. But I've always said this about when Tony Hole's on a guy from Louisiana, you don't ever count that kid out until he's actually signed with another school. So Leviticus Madison, a defensive tackle from Meridian High School in Mississippi, he was a teammate of Dejon Terry last year. 6'1", 340. Golly, I mean, can you imagine him and Dejon Terry on a high school offensive defensive line together? I mean,
how does that even happen? That's
hey, listen,
absurd.
Life is good if you are the defensive line coach at Meridian. I mean, man,
no
you
doubt.
You just sit back in your chair and throw the ball out and watch him go.
Hey, there are colleges that don't have guys that big. That's
no,
crazy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to turn to the quarterback spot a little bit here. Keep an eye. A recent offer, Jacoby Criswell out of Arkansas, was committed to North Carolina, and Kansas just offered him last week. Okay, we're in the stage now of recruiting that you just don't offer a kid for nothing. You don't waste your time. You don't waste his time. So that's something I'm going to follow a little bit. And something else when it comes to quarterbacks, if you look at the transfer portal, you're starting to see kids who are good quarterbacks that were beaten out by other good quarterbacks that are starting to enter the transfer portal. So keep an eye on that because there's a lot of names and there's going to be more. And if Kansas wants a guy that's already been in a college program, you know, that's an area they may look to. And I'm going to jump ahead to the 2021 class, a guy that I feel pretty good about, Keelan Robinson, wide receiver out of South Grand Prairie. He visited this summer. He's a big fan of Emmett Jones, likes him a lot. I know Jones is hard after him. And an interesting story on this kid, he grew up since like the fourth grade playing with KU commit Magic Rector as a wide receiver. So those two guys are pretty tight, and I think he's pretty high on Kansas.
Well, that's, wow. That would, like I say, the way that this staff is recruiting is just absolutely, it's just boggles the mind at this point. You kind of find yourself struggling to find more superlatives to describe it. It's crazy. But when it comes to covering recruiting, you know, a guy that is very familiar with the way that Les Miles works on the recruiting trail and his relentless approach to finding and getting talented players to come and commit to play for him, that's Sam Spiegelman from Rivals. Sam has been covering recruiting in the SEC for a long time. He lives in Louisiana. He knows about the boot. He joins JK in the studio now to talk about Les Miles and what Kansas fans can expect from the Mad Hatter as his tenure in Lawrence is ready to begin.
We are joined by Sam Spiegelman. Sam, how you doing?
Staying alive, man. Just day to day at this point.
Hey, I know the feeling. Hey, listen, you've covered LSU and Les Miles for some time. For all the Kansas fans out there, talk about what can they expect over the years from Les Miles and what you've seen as a recruiter.
You know, one of the things that, you know, always kind of caught my attention about Les, he goes for, and a lot of staffs can say this, but obviously not every staff is headed by Les Miles, who's a different kind of cat. He has his guys, right? He has certain traits that he looks for in his guys. And he's willing to take certain chances on different guys if they fit his mold. So, for instance, you know, he would not typically recruit someone like Puka Williams. That's not his style of running back. As you saw when he was at LSU, it was Leonard Fournette, it was Darius Geis, it was Jeremy Hill. But he looks for workhorse running backs. He doesn't always recruit the best offensive tackles or the best offensive guards, but he gets these bullies along the offensive line. He doesn't care what quote-unquote position you play, because you see a lot of them are all in the league to this day. He wants a nasty O-line to pave the way for his workhorse running backs. And sticking on the offensive side of the ball, he loves tall receivers. That's someone like you just saw in DeSoto's Lawrence Arnold. He's a big physical wide receiver, can go up and get the ball. He loves to put together a basketball team out wide in his receiving core. On the defensive side of the ball, he really, you know, this is the SEC part of him. He looks for that, you know, attacking defensive front. He's going to look for big defensive tackles and pass rushing defensive ends, and he's already shown that beginning last year toward the end of the 2019 cycle and obviously starting here in 2020. You know, he likes... He trusts his DB coaches. Obviously, you see that with his staff that he's assembled, former LSU guys. So I'd imagine that he's going to go for these taller DBs, but you got to remember that Les Miles was the one who found the Honey Badger, and he was the one who took a chance on the Honey Badger, despite being, I'd say, generously 5'7". So if you're a baller, Les Miles is going to take you in the secondary. And then, you know, there's always a couple of guys each recruiting class that always kind of stood out that they were just less guys, whether it was their work ethic or their high school production. And, you know, look at like a Duke Riley who flipped to LSU late. He was either committed or leaning toward TCU for a good portion, but Les saw something in him and he just loved his approach, and he wound up, and now he's in the NFL. And the same thing that goes for Foster Moreau, who was a state championship winning tight end in New Orleans. He didn't even have a committable offer from LSU until National Signing Day. He was basically a Mr. Irrelevant in their class. I believe it was in 2015, if I remember correctly. And now he's playing for the Oakland Raiders. He was just drafted this past spring. And he was LSU's best tight end over the last 4 years, a guy that was borderline three-star, two-star, depending on where you look. And his other offer, his best other offer was probably Tulane at this point. So Les finds his guys, and he believes in them, and obviously the results kind of speak for themselves.
Right now, the Kansas class is sitting at 25 commitments. They're ranked 27th in the country. That's somewhat uncharted territory for Kansas recruiting. I mean, are you surprised with the early success, what he's been able to do at Kansas and his staff so far?
No, I'm actually not surprised, and I'm glad you brought this up. I mean, this is Les Miles. He is a figurehead in college football, and he has been. And he's been out of
the game for a couple of years, and people have been clamoring to get him back in a head coaching role. They want to hear and see Les Miles. He is a character, but he's also a fantastic football coach with a fantastic resume. You know, obviously Kansas has been in need of a boisterous head coach for some time, and obviously someone who get it done on the field, and I think Les Miles gives them a chance to do that. Now that he's back in the college football head coaching ranks, he's letting the world know that I'm back and Kansas is going to be back. And the recruiting class kind of reflects that kind of attitude and approach. He's filling it up quicker than he wasn't coaching when the early signing period was instituted. You know, that's to give it some perspective. So he's putting together his first blueprint of a recruiting class here at Kansas, his first full one. The biggest obstacle now will be putting it together on the field, because you can recruit and you can make promises to these kids and you can give them the blueprint of what Kansas football is going to be like on and away from the field, and what they're going to do to come back as a program in order to make noise in the Big 12. But now we've got to show these offensive linemen and these running backs that we're going to be able to run it down the throat and over physical a lot of these other Big 12 teams that are known for spreading it out and not being as physical. The opposite end of that spectrum is, will his typical LSU smash mouth football translate to the Big 12, or is he going to have to use some of these wide receivers that he's recruiting? You know, is he going to open it up a little bit? Is he going to take advantage of slot receivers? You know, this is the Big 12. You're used to seeing 3 and 4 wide receiver sets on the regular. And that has never been what Les Miles has done. So there's a lot at stake when the season opens up. And I'm very curious to see what a Les Miles coach football team in 2019 looks like compared to what it did 10 years ago in 2009, when LSU was a perennial national championship contender. And I think the big thing, obviously, the way he's recruiting defense, will the physicality attacking defense, will it kind of come to fruition in the Big 12 this year? Will the people he have on the roster be able to, you know, get the job done as he sees fit? So there's a lot at stake before you ever play a true down of football. Now he's got to kind of fulfill those expectations. So a lot is definitely riding. And you mentioned 25 commitments. You know, if things get a little dicey at first, you see that number go down. And if not, if the arrow is pointing up, maybe we start seeing that 2021 class start filling up, because Les is going to make some noise right there.
You know, Louisiana, where you're at and you followed, it's become such a big state for Kansas recruiting. I mean, you've got guys like Tony Hull, Quan Drake, who are from the area. Chevis Jackson played for Miles at LSU. Do you see the trend continuing where they're able to keep landing those players from Louisiana?
Yeah, in Louisiana and in Texas, you kind of see Les is like, when he went to DeSoto, I got a big chuckle out of that, because he has recruited DeSoto very well for his entire tenure at LSU, and he's not going to give up Louisiana because he's been here for so long. You know, the interesting, it's going to become a key state. Les is going to try to recruit national. I expect him to try to go up to the Midwest, and I expect him to stay in the South and Louisiana and Texas and in parts of Alabama, where he's recruited very successfully during his time at LSU and OK State. But you know, when you have Tony Hull on your staff, he's from the area, and same with Quan and Chavis. You know, since Coach Hull was hired, you saw, you know, the big noise that Kansas was making in New Orleans. And you and I have talked about this at length over the last couple of years about, you know, guys like Corion Harris and Devontae Jason and Puka Williams and Jamar Chase, even at certain points. You know, that's been a trend bubbling for 3 or 4 years already. Now, you know, because Les Miles is at the helm, and there's actually an even greater emphasis, where it's not just Tony Hull recruiting New Orleans, it's multiple staff members recruiting all over the state and the nearby regions. You know, you see that Kansas is very steadily in the mix for a lot of these 3 and 4 star guys in the area, and they're kind of, you know, they're a main contender in the same way that Arkansas does this, and the same way that TCU does to a degree. And you know, they're not really going toe-to-toe with LSU and Alabama and Texas A&M for these top-ranked guys, but they are battling the Tulanes and La Techs and SMU for the 3-star guys or the middling 4-star guys, and Les is going to pluck a couple of those guys here and there, and you just kind of see that with a Tanner Hooker, who's a really intriguing guy. You know, I see a lot of potential in Tanner, even though I can see with the that he has a long way to go to kind of get to where he's going to be an effective Big 12 quarterback. But they're going to win that because of Les Miles' reputation and the way he recruits. And I fully expect this to continue. And the more success that Les has in Lawrence, the more he's going to be able to pluck these guys with relative ease.
Well, you're talking about three-star guys, so I'm going to switch this over to the big fish. And, you know, it's a name that's bought up about every week by Kansas fans. You know, everyone wants to dream big, and that's Ashaad Clayton, ninth-rated running back in the country. I know you followed him closely. Just what are your thoughts of where he's at? And, I mean, do the Jayhawks have a fighter's chance in this one?
Well, I like that you said dream big, because I think everyone should dream big. I'm just messing with you, bud. Listen, Ashaad is in a kind of a weird spot with his recruitment. You know, I think he's emotional, and I think those emotions have risen as he deals with this injury. You know, he had a fantastic spring. I saw him in his spring game. There were rumors that he wasn't even going to play in his spring game, and then he came out and looked like a grown man, a four-star top 100 running back, just as he's ranked in Rivals. And I've been reluctant to drop him because of an injury, but I am very curious to see how he rebounds. And according to everyone close to the Warren Easton program, he is closer than he is further than returning in a big way. And something in the spring game was Tony Hull was there out in St. James, Louisiana, in the middle of the bayou. And, you know, listen, Tony Hull is not throwing in the towel on a Warren Easton kid. That's obviously the high school program he built up. And he has a fantastic relationship with Ashaad and his family dating back to the time that he was in park ball. Now, Ashaad has really visited two schools more than any two schools on his offer sheet, his very impressive offer sheet. That's Kansas and LSU. And he's visited Kansas once in each of the last two or three springs. And he's obviously visited LSU quite a bit as well. Now, do I see Kansas as like the number one or two team? No, I don't, to be perfectly honest. But like I said, it's a very tumultuous situation. It's a very fluid situation. I think right now, no, I don't think he's very strongly leaning toward Kansas. And I don't think Kansas is his first choice whatsoever. But I know that he loves Coach Hull, and I know that he loves Coach Miles. And so does his mom. And he's a family-oriented kid. And that's a critical factor that Les Miles and his mom speak very routinely. At the same exact time, I think Ashaad thinks that he's the best back in the country, and the fact that he's been relegated to the sidelines during much of this, you know, off season when kids are at the opening finals and rivals camp, you know, and he's not able to make some noise. I think that's really it's irking him to a degree, and because he thinks that he is the best running back in the country, I think his eyes are naturally pushing toward the SEC. Now, he's publicly said this, and behind closed doors, he's expressed an interest in schools like Georgia. And obviously, he has a long-time relationship with LSU, but that relationship is a little bit in flux at the moment. But I fully expect those sides to kind of touch base soon over the next couple of weeks as he gets back on the field. And, you know, like in any recruitment for a really talented kid, you know, there are ebbs and flows, and doors kind of open up and they close as time goes on. And something that we have spoken about is, you know, because of the early signing period and because of some kids just want to be done by the time their senior season starts, a lot of spots are filling up, especially at the schools he's looking at. Now, LSU doesn't have a running back. Alabama has two. Georgia has one. He's a five-star from California, and they're in a good spot with a few others. And those are schools that he talks about, but he really hasn't shown the full interest. The interest has not been mutual to this point. So I honestly, of all the top kids that I get to cover, he is one of the more fluid, more intriguing recruitments to begin coming up. Now, right now, I would not say that he's, you know, leaning toward Kansas or leaning toward LSU or leaning toward Georgia. But there is still a lot to fill up. and figure out at this point, rather. I think he really needs to kind of pick up these visits on the weekends, and when he's healthy, he needs to find out where he has an actual home. And just to reiterate, I do not think Candace is out of it whatsoever. I fully expect Candace to be a player in this. They're not going to drop communication whatsoever because, like I said at the top, Candace is in it. Les Miles has his types, and Ashad is, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Darius Geis coming out of Catholic High a couple of years ago. Three down back, explosive. He likes guys that don't have to come off the field. And that's more of a Les Miles guy than, you know, Puka Williams. But I think Ashad has his eyes are a little bit bigger. And I think he's going to continue to kind of be in the ear of these SEC teams. But I'm not going to discount what Tony Hall and Les Miles can do down the stretch altogether. So it's fluid. I don't think that he's going to wind up at Kansas at the moment. But like I said, the longer this goes on, the higher the chances get for Kansas down the road.
Sam, you're awesome. Hey, listen, I know you're going to be driving around all over the place catching jamborees and scrimmages and games starting up, and I know you're busy, and I really want to thank you for stepping in here and joining us.
Absolutely, man. It's my pleasure.
All right, Sam, take care.
Yep.
That was Sam Spiegelman, who brought us some great insight, having covered Les Miles for a number of years and handles recruiting in Louisiana and Texas for Rivals, which is a huge, huge area and a vital area, as it appears, for Kansas football recruiting going forward. That will wrap it up for this football-only edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. This has been just one amazing guest after another. I want to be sure and thank everybody, including Chris Freed, Emmett Jones, and Sam Spiegelman for joining us today. Kirby and I promise we haven't locked Shay in a closet or anything like that. We will bring him back next week, next time that we are in studio with you guys, to give you more of what you're looking for on the best fan podcast available anywhere for Kansas Jayhawks and Jayhawk Nation. I know Shay's been hunting down a lot of basketball info, even though with football season is starting, that means college basketball season is also not far away. Bill Self is doing work. His squad, they are getting ready as late night is just around the corner. For my man John Kirby, publisher of Jayhawk Slant, and the seemingly cast of thousands of guests that joined us today, this is Randy Withers from Jayhawk Slant. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.